This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. Happy Monday to you. God bless you guys today. Thanks for joining us. We're tuning into God's frequency. I thank you for tuning along with us here. We're going to go back to the book of Matthew chapter 24 today. This sermon will play today, Monday, and tomorrow. We're looking at the question that the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, what'll be the sign of your coming and what'll be the sign of the end of the world? Now, toward the end of the chapter, he's going to make reference to the Old Testament saint Noah, and he's going to throw that out as a mile marker to be looking for. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be when I return. So what characterized the days of Noah? That's the obvious question. We're going to answer that question here today coming up. I invite you guys to church this Wednesday night. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. We would love to see you for one of our services. Sundays, we're in the book of Hebrews. You'll hear my sermon that I just preached yesterday. You'll hear that. That was on Melchizedek. And Hebrews chapter 7, that will play Wednesday and Thursday of this week. So, okay, here we go. Let's get into the Word. Let's listen to the Lord preach and teach on the days of Noah.
I've entitled this sermon again, The Days of Noah. Now, let me hit you with this one thing, then we'll consider the days of Noah. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, it says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So the question is, what characterized the days of Noah, right? I mean, he said, as it was back in that time, so it will be when I return. So, of course, the logical question is, well, what characterizes that time? Now, this note from pastor and scholar Dr. Criswell, he says this, and I quote, Noah's day was characterized by a preoccupation with trivial matters and with a neglecting of spiritual matters. He continues, oblivious to the judgment of God, the inhabitants of the earth were caught unprepared by the flood. Such a state of unpreparedness will exist when the Lord Jesus returns. Now, I kid you not, this sermon has been on my desk for 5 weeks. I did not write this as a result of everything that's going on in this country. It's been sitting on my desk. And the providence of God so has it that this is my sermon here for today. As the providence of God has my sermon for next week, the parable of the talents, when we take up an offering here and this church is going to match whatever everyone out here, including myself, gives. When my sermon next week is the parable of the talents. That is, the Lord's given everybody something. And he's gone away on a long trip. And he's coming back again. And we're going to have to give an account with what he's given us. That is as much the providence as this sermon is here today. Oblivious to the judgment of God, the inhabitants of the earth were caught unprepared by the flood. Such a state of unpreparedness will exist when Christ returns. Now, we'll get back to Noah here in a bit, but let's work our way there. But floods are on my mind this week. I'm sure people said to themselves up there in the mountains, maybe they said, we are invincible to floods. Or this could never happen to me. That's for all of you guys in Florida, right? I mean, we're 3,000 feet above sea level, these mountains. I'm 1,000 miles away from Florida. This could never happen to me. And that is where he's got his thumb down here this morning. Not to make light of the horrible thing, but to see the sign that just like it was, I bet you if you went into a public supermarket up there, you wouldn't find one case of water missing on the shelf. It would all still be there. I'm in Pentecost. It's 1,000 miles away. This can't affect me. That's the mindset he's trying to get us to understand here. We're not making light of what's happened. It's horrible what's happened. Horrible thing. You even read in Luke chapter 13 when they said to Jesus, they said, you know, that's not fair what's happened to these people. These people over here, this tower fell on them. They said, Lord, what do you think about that? That's not fair. Or the governor over here is mixing blood with the communion. That's not fair. What did he say? He didn't say, yes, it's not fair, or no, it is fair. He said, unless if you get right with God, something worse is going to happen to you. Now, that was his answer, not mine. But don't say to him it's not fair. He'll say to you and to me, let's make sure that we're right with him. Let's worry, let's turn, as I like to encourage all of you, turn these things in. Let's look at ourselves. Let's look at ourselves. 30 inches of rain. Oblivious to the judgment of God, the inhabitants of the earth are caught unprepared by the flood. Such a state will exist when Christ returns. You see, the flood is the sign, but actually, it's being caught unprepared is the sign. Not the flood, it's being unready, being caught unprepared is the sign. Now let's pick it up in Matthew 24, starting in verse 23. Matthew 24, 23. Let's pick it up there. Everybody there. Matthew 24, 23. The Lord Jesus speaking. He says, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. So notice, please, people are looking for Jesus Christ. Believers obviously are still around and looking for him. But they're ignorant, apparently. They're ignorant. Or they have been misled by other Christians. You shouldn't even ask that question because he's coming back with the clouds and every eye will see him. Don't look for him under a rock. Don't look for him on the 6 o'clock news. He told you when he's coming back. Why are people still even, why are they even asking this question? Acts 1:11, the same Jesus who was taken up from you will so come in like manner as you saw him go. Christians have been told for 200 years now that they will never break a nail. Now, apparently, people are surprised, as you can see, that he hasn't returned yet. And they're looking for him everywhere. I mean, he says it himself. That's not my interpretation of that. He says, don't believe it when people say, there he is right over there. Verse 24, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Meaning, even you guys could be deceived if it was possible. Verse 25, then he says, see, I've told you beforehand. That's like handing you tomorrow's newspaper with all 8 races from Hialeah Racetrack down there in Miami. Win, place, and show every race. He's given you the winners to every race. He says, see, he says, I've told you everything in advance. You know how he's coming back? according to these signs, you know approximately when he's coming back. When all these signs are taking place here. Verse 26, he says, therefore, now he says it again. He said it once, now he's going to say it again. Therefore, if they say to you, look, here he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. Now, I know I'm not going to gain any friends by this, and saying this, but what else is new? They already silenced some of my videos on Facebook. What's the difference? After a lifetime of study, I am entitled to my opinion, right? My personal opinion regarding all of this is that this pre-tribulation rapture theory is the greatest scam to ever be pulled on the Church of Jesus Christ. That's my opinion. Why? Because it makes believers lazy and complacent. It cons you, or better yet, it deceives you into thinking that you don't need to be prepared. It deceives you into thinking you don't need to go to the store to get a jug of water or a case of water. It deceives you into thinking you're all right. Nothing bad can happen to me. So I'm going to keep on doing like I was doing. That's what this pre-trib rapture thing does. It discounts you into believing John 12:25. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life will keep it. Now, Pastor Darren reeled me in this week, and I needed it. He said, you get up here in this church, and you've been preaching for years. The correct answer is strive. We don't know when he's coming back. The answer is strive. It's not yes. It's not no. It's not when. The answer is strive. Greek word agonizo. Like the Lord Jesus sweating great drops of blood. It says he agonized in prayer in the garden. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. Because many will try to get in and will not be able. That's the right answer. I can die and leave this world, and I know I'll feel comfortable in heaven. Instead of taking a position, and 50% of the people are wrong, I don't want that to happen to me. My encouragement to you is always be looking up and strive. And that's a foolproof position that I guarantee you is right. Strive. Don't give up. Don't give up the fight. Keep on pressing on. Keep on serving the Lord here. Keep on looking for his return and don't give up. That is an infallible position for you to have this morning. Keep it up. Keep on serving the Lord. Keep on looking up. We could just go home now and call it a day. He who endures to the end will be saved, he says. I hope you don't leave the church because of a difference in eschatology. People have, but listen, let us all agree that many will try to get into the kingdom and will not be able. Let us all agree the time is coming when the door is going to be shut and your opportunity to escape, all of these things coming to pass, will be gone. Let us all agree that if you refuse love, that is, if you're upset that God loves you this morning, not only have you been deceived, but that you've been sent a strong delusion so that you will believe the lie, if you haven't been already. When the Lord Jesus is coming back, I do not know. But this I do know, that if you miss this, if you miss this gathering together of the elect, if you miss this, you are lost forever if you miss his return. Hear me now. Pre-mid-post, I don't know when it's happening, but if you miss his return, it's because you have rejected him here today on this sixth day of October 2024. If anyone in this church misses this, it's because you have said no. You're upset that God loves you this morning and that it died for you and that he shed his blood for you, and he welcomes you into his kingdom. And your sins and lawless deeds, he's promised, I will remember no more. You receive that, or you reject it. But if you reject that, and if he cracks these skies and comes back, you're lost forever. Now, that's why he says in the Bible, even though he wrote it 2,000 years ago, he says, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day to receive Jesus Christ. You're not guaranteed of tomorrow. Now, let's move on here. Verse 29. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give her light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will wail. That's funny. I preach that out of the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 7. Now there's your second scripture spoken by different people that when he comes back, instead of rejoicing like you people are going to do, people are going to wail when he comes back. What's your response going to be when he comes back? What are you people of Island Community Church, what are you going to do when Jesus comes back? You'll rejoice or you'll wail. You won't be nonchalant. You won't be saying religion's just a crutch for weak people. You'll be worshiping. The Bible says about the Antichrist, all that dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You're going to have to serve and worship somebody. So all the tribes of the earth will wail. This is verse 30. All the tribes of the earth will wail. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet. And he will gather together. Wow, this sounds just like that rapture text. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It's the same thing. If you notice in your Bible, you'll see a cross-reference linking these two verses together. Matthew 24:31 and 1 Thessalonians 4:16. You'll see it there in your margin. That means these translators are telling you these two things are the same event. A, B's told you when it's going to happen. See that? Immediately after the tribulation. Now, that's not a popular message, I know. What are you supposed to do? Strive. Strive is the answer. God's the principal. The tribulation is the final exam. We are the students. Now, he can and he will do as he chooses. He might call a heavenly recess and call everyone home. What's required of you and I is to strive. It's to trust God in the face of adversity to make you tough like David was. And if the Lord chooses, again, that was verse 31. He will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, if the Lord chooses to do that twice, and praise God, and please pass the jelly. Right? Now, here in verse 32, for the first time in this discourse, now he's going to introduce a parable. He hasn't been given power. He's been going in order. Then. Last week he said, therefore, remember, gave the mile marker to look for. When you see the Terminator walking around here, forcing people to take a mark of the beast. When you see that, head for the hills. Don't go down and get your jacket. Pray that you're not pregnant or with a child. That's because you won't be able to run as fast. That's why they say at airports when they're boarding a plane, what do they say? Women and children first, because it takes them longer to get to where they're going. So here comes a parable, verse 32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has become tender and puts forth leaves, you'll know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all of these things, know, or one translation says, recognize. That is, smell the coffee. Recognize that he is near, even at the door. So what does he mean by that? More Christian books have been written on this than any other subject in the Bible, I think, or topic. Because some people believe the fig tree here is that the Lord's talking about is some reference to Israel. So their understanding would go something like this. Learn this parable from the fig tree, or learn this parable about Israel. When its branch becomes tender and puts forth leaves, you'll know that summer is near. Meaning this, once the fig tree is blooming again, that is, once Israel becomes a nation again, you'll know his return is near. Now, Israel became a nation again May the 15th, 1948. People say that a generation is 40 years long. Right? The Lord says right here in the next verse, verse 34, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." That would be the generation that was alive to see the rebirth of Israel. So add 40 years to 1948, and what do you have? You have a faulty understanding of Bible prophecy. You're wrong. The word's not, hello, guess what? The word's not wrong, you're wrong. For following those knuckleheads on TV that came up with this stuff. He's not talking about Israel. Here's my proof. Let me read that verse out of Luke 21:29. Listen to what the Lord says. It says, "Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all of the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is near." So you see, all he's saying is that when you see all the signs, it's like seeing leaves on a tree after a cold and barren winter. Or once you see cherry blossoms, if you are from Washington or that area, once you see cherry blossoms on a tree, you know what season it is. That's all he's saying here. When I lived in Colorado, up from the ground, even though there was snow on the ground, came these things that my late wife told me was something that was called a crocus. That's your sign. When you see crocuses coming up out of the ground, you'll know spring is around the corner. Now, I used to own two Christmas cactuses. Both died. Thank you to Maria, who gave me another one. But they're aptly named. So look at the Christmas cactus. When it starts to bloom, you will know that winter is near. Now, some people like Maria, I know, would like to deceive a Christmas cactus and put it in a closet and close the door. You see, that's how you know you're deceived. You think that something, darkness, is something, winter. When darkness is something else, you've been deceived. In New Jersey in October, oh, we loved October in New Jersey. It means all these acorns would fall. And we had acorn fights by the dozen every day. See, when you see the acorns on the ground, then you will know that Thanksgiving is near. That's all he's saying here. You don't have to buy my teaching tapes to understand. This is not a cryptic reference to something you won't understand without me. What he's saying is when you see these things, what things? We looked at last week, wars, ethnic uprising. That is, nationalities hating each other, countries hating each other, wars, ethnic uprising, famines, pestilence like COVID, earthquakes. Here's a new one out of Luke 21. When you see the seas and the waves roaring and all of this stuff going on together, and list two, Christianity a crime, when you see false prophets everywhere, when you see all the temporary Christians falling away from the faith because they never expected any of this to happen, when you see people indifferent He says, because lawlessness will increase, the love of many will wax cold. When you see all these things, it's just like a crocus that's coming up out of the ground. The generation that sees those things, not one at a time, but all together at the same time. That's how you understand. There's always been wars. But when you see these things, he says, when you see all of these things, recognize my return is near. The generation that sees all these things, he says, will oume, that is by no means, exclamation point, by no means pass away. Verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away, meaning you can take this to the bank. Now in verse 36, we're hit with the greatest uncertainty throughout the annals of time, the return of the Son of God. He says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Mark 13:32 puts it this way, of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. The Son of God says he doesn't know when he's coming back. No one knows. Not Harold Camping, not Hal Lindsey, not Jack Van Impe, not Chuck Smith, and all those people that have set dates, not the cults, not the Jehovah's Witness, who says, oh, he came back, but he was invisible. No one knows. No one knows the day or the hour when he's coming back. No angel knows. He says he doesn't even know. And this is where we're living here right now.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Hi friends, Paul Esposito here from 91.5 FM WMIE and WWBC Radio. We are pleased to announce that our brand new apps have been released and are now available in the App Store for you to download. So search for WMIE as well as WWBC and you can hear the awesome programming on these stations 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There also is a lot of programs available on demand. Some of the local programming here you now can hear on demand from your phone or tablet. So I encourage you to download these apps, WMIE and WWBC. Thank you.